Upgrade your business tools with an American Express Business Platinum Card. Unlock over $1,000 per year in statement credits on select purchases in categories including tech, wireless, and recruiting. And so big expenses can deliver big benefits, you'll also earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on single eligible purchases of $5,000 or more. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum. Amex Business Platinum. Built for business by American Express.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
With over 2,300 hotels across the U.S. and Canada, Best Western is perfect for our annual spring hiking trip. It feels a little like
Okay, back to the hotel. What a great day.
Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This is the Red Sox Precap, with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrate. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap, podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended for the Red Sox, preview the series that's about to start. This one sucked. I don't think there's much more around it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could say welcome back because we had Bob on, early last week.
That's true.
But, yeah. Aren't you so excited to talk about this series, Keaton?
It seems only fair, right? I guess I get it. Yeah. Red Sox ended up dropping this one, 3-1, this 4-game set with a doubleheader. And they found spectacular ways to do it, really, throughout the series.
Yep.
Just spectacular showing. Let's dive more into it now. Game one, Nathan Eovaldi versus Alek Manoah. Manoah has been looking real sharp for the Rays, for the Blue Jays. Eovaldi, in this one, had been absolutely cruising until slamming into a brick wall in the fourth, where he ended up tallying 4 2/3 innings, gave up 8 hits, 7 earned runs, striking out 4, walking 2. He really was on cruise control for the vast majority of this start, and then what happened?
I guess the Blue Jays offense just kind of woke up. I mean, this was kind of like what I was afraid of, like, going into this series. I really wasn't scared of the pitching. I was scared of the hitting. And that's essentially what happened. He just met up with a buzzsaw and just got demolished. I mean, that's what's going to happen whenever you face a lineup like this.
9 runs in the fifth inning for the Blue Jays to take a lead. This, of course, came right on the heels of the Red Sox leaving the bases loaded and squandering a chance to really break the game open. And that just kind of seems like how it goes, right?
Yeah, especially in this series. And just here lately, while we can get some hits together, we just can't get enough to actually get anyone to home plate.
Yep. Yeah. After Eovaldi, Hansel Robles followed through 9 pitches and gave up 2 runs on 3 hits. Davis, Perez, and Araúz followed and each gave up 2 hits, an earned run, giving up 17 hits in 9 innings. That's too many.
That is way, way, way too many. It's really hard to win a game if you give up 17 hits.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Red Sox had 8 hits, stranded 14 batters. Really tough game there for the offense. Hunter Renfro hit a 2-run homer. That was nice. Verdugo also had 2 hits. He had a pretty decent series for himself. And that was pretty much it for performances on the batting side. And that wrapped up game one. 12-4. Red Sox take the loss. Game two. Another brutal one. Game one of the doubleheader. Nick Pivetta pitched his finest game in quite some time. 6 strong innings, giving up 1 hit, striking out 5, and then handed it over to Matt Barnes, who threw 1 pitch, and the game was over.
I mean, that game was just, that game was just absolutely unbelievable. Pivetta going head-to-head with Robbie Ray, and really no one was getting anything together. And then just that one pitch to Marcus Semien, and it goes over the fence and the game's over. Because it was a doubleheader, only 7 innings. It just, we were cruising, everything was feeling good, and then literally hit a wall and just, they walked out the field while the Blue Jays were dancing all across the infield. It was lovely.
Yeah, this one in particular is tough to swallow as a 7-inning game, because mm-hmm. Pivetta had thrown 76 pitches to that point.
Yeah.
And had many more left in him to go. Probably could have got through another 2 innings and mm-hmm. really just had this incredible Toronto lineup absolutely baffled. So that one hurts. That one hurts quite a lot.
Yeah.
There were only 2 hits for the Red Sox. Plawecki and Araújo got those. And that was it. Just like that, it was over.
Yeah. Mm.
And then we moved on to game 2 of the doubleheader. Tanner Houck versus Jose Berrios. And this was another tight one. The Red Sox managed to pull this one out 2-1. Houck went 3 2/3 innings, striking out 6, only walking 2, giving up 1 earned run. What did you think of Houck's performance?
I thought he looked good. Coming back into the rotation, he didn't go too far, into this game, but with it just being 7 innings, it's totally fine. And him coming back, striking out 6, not walking too many people. I think he walked 2, only gave up 3 hits against the Blue Jays. I was totally fine with it. I was pleasantly surprised with how he looked.
Yeah, Blue Jays batters made him work, but yeah. That's kind of to be expected with this lineup. He had 74 pitches through those 11 outs, but 6 of them ended up being strikeouts. So
exactly.
It was a really good performance. It gives you a lot of hope for the rotation moving forward, knowing that he's there now.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be able to continue to stretch out and get further into games. I don't think he's going to be consistently going less than 4 innings an outing. So looking forward to that. Josh Taylor finished off the 4th inning, and then Whitlock came in with 2 innings, striking out 3, giving up 2 hits. Barnes, a clean inning, and Ottavino finished it off for the save. Verdugo hit a home run, and this one had 3 hits, and that was pretty much the only notable performance there. And the Red Sox finally were on the board in this series, and that led to Game 4 today. And another tough one.
Mm-hmm.
This pitching matchup, Garrett Richards versus Hyunjin Ryu. Richards didn't pitch all that bad. 3 runs in 5 innings, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk, gave up 6 hits. 4 runs, only 3 of them earned. The Red Sox, however, their bats jumped all over Hyunjin Ryu. 3 2/3 innings, 10 hits, 7 earned runs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Not his finest hour, and that against one, probably Toronto's best pitcher, right? Gotta be able to pull that out for a win. The Red Sox were unable to do so, however. Sawamura came in 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 runs. Ottavino gave up a run. And then Barnes, getting used in his 3rd consecutive game, gave up 2 runs in 1/3 of an inning with a walk and a strikeout. And that allowed Toronto to come all the way back and win this one 9-8. First, I guess let's dive into Richards. What were your thoughts on his performance?
I thought it was good for him outside of the sticky stuff. I mean, it really wasn't too dominant, but he managed to, you know, wiggle his way through, right? I mean, he didn't give up too many hits. Again, he didn't get too many strikeouts, but there was just a lot of outs that the defense was able to give him. I don't know what that means for him going forward, because, you know, we got some scrub. I don't know who this guy is, like this Chris Sale prospect dude. You know, he's kind of coming back soon, so I don't know what it means for Richards. But I mean, this outing, like, if you would have like traded like his outing for Ryu's outing, honestly, if you would have traded the Red Sox and then Toronto, I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, Garrett Richards gets blown up, but then the offense gets it going and then they win in the end.
Right.
But it's like totally opposite of what happened.
Yeah. Brutal one here, especially the way that Richards is going. When you get an outing like this,
you have to take advantage.
Exactly. And that was kind of the opportunity here across all of these pitching performances this week for the Red Sox, and they were only able to take advantage of Tanner Houck, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Notable hitting performances. Perhaps the most notable hitting performance is from the entire team, who stranded 21 batters on 16 hits and took a loss. Out-hit Toronto by 6 and still took the loss. That one's tough.
Unbelievable.
But 2 hits from Bogarts, 2 hits from Devers. J.D. Martinez had 4. Plawecki had 3. Dalbec had 2. Duran had 2. Hits all around, but no runs. Well, at the end, no runs.
Yeah.
Score 8 runs, probably should win that game. Just another way the Red Sox found to really make this series tough to swallow, and doesn't get any easier as they're about to face Tampa Bay. But before then, MVP of the series for you.
I'm going to go with Kevin Plawecki. He did this a little bit last year where he just, whenever he was in a game, he always did something, right? He's hitting 313 on the year. Today he went 3-for-4. He's a pleasant surprise, both last year and this year. So I just want to give him a hat tip for this awful series. Not on him, though.
Yeah, 4-for-7 in the series. And he did his best. wasn't his fault.
No.
I'm going to go with Verdugo. He had a couple multi-hit games and a home run.
Love it.
Really wish I could give it to Pivetta, but man, tough.
Yeah.
And that'll do it for reviewing the series against Toronto. We'll take a quick break, come back, and preview the series against Tampa.
Ah, yes. The magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus Brightolus. The worm's captivating neon color makes it an easy, gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Adding insult to injury to the Red Sox blowing the lead late, Tampa managed to do the same thing with a 6-run eighth inning against the Orioles to come back and get a win, pulling now 4 games ahead of the Red Sox. Red Sox still in second place, although 2-9 in their last 11. The Rays, Yankees, and Blue Jays are all 8-2 in their last 10 and have gained 6 games on the Red Sox in the last 11 days. Rays first, 68-44. Red Sox 4 games back. Yankees 6.5 games back. Toronto 7. And the Orioles 29. Pitching matchups for this series. Erod versus Patino, Evaldi versus Yarbrough, and Pivetta versus Fleming. Shelley, first reaction seeing those pitching matchups feels like best case scenario for the Red Sox?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we have our three best pitchers going. I mean, I guess it kind of, whatever you think, Houck versus Pivetta and, you know, that Chris Sale character coming back. But anyway, currently, I think this is like the our three best pitchers going up against the Rays. And I mean, I'm not particularly scared of any of the three pitchers. Yeah, we could get in just because our offense has been scuffling, we could get in trouble with maybe one, maybe two of those. But I feel pretty good, knock on wood, going into this series.
And this could really kick off a stretch for the Red Sox. They have an uncharacteristic soft spot in the schedule here, which really could not come at a better time. they have this series against the Rays, and then four of their next five series are against teams that are in last place. Or I guess there's two in the Central, so one of those can't be in last. Yeah, Indians not in last place, but sold off everybody and bad. Kicking off this stretch of the schedule with a solid performance against the Rays, and then taking it to the Orioles, Rangers, Twins, and Indians before getting the Rays back again. They really need to put their best foot forward here in this stretch and start to gain some ground again on the Yankees. There's a three-game series against the Yankees mixed in there. But the crazy part is they've got like 12 games against the Rays before the end of the season now, who they are obviously chasing. And the good news is that they still hold their... you know, hold their destiny in their own hands.
Yeah.
If you want to put it that way. But like I said, Red Sox three best pitchers right now currently with the roster going against the Rays here. And the Red Sox, Patino is going to be tough. The Red Sox kind of own Yarbrough, though. So yep. Hopefully that continues. And then Fleming is probably one of the weaker arms that the Rays have. But they know how to handle their pitching. So we'll see how that goes. I believe they also just beat Fleming in the last series, if memory serves, but I cannot remember. I believe he pitched, but
yeah,
God, we review every game. It's hard to remember what the hell happened.
Yeah,
that kind of blends, but just a chance for the Red Sox to kind of start to change the tune. And this is, I mean, kind of everything is going wrong at once, which we talked about. This happened in the beginning of the season, like in April or so, after their incredibly hot start. The pitching struggled and the hitting struggled. And it just kind of makes everything magnified a bit, mm-hmm. and make it seem like it's worse. And then I think it was coupled with the letdown, if you will, at the trade deadline of kind of making a splash to help the team improve. It just feels like things are worse than they actually are. They're still within striking distance of the division. They're still in second place. They still hold their air quotes destiny in their own hands. And they're still a very good baseball team. So... it'll feel better when the tides start turning, and the chance for that to happen is right now.
Yep.
So let's hope for a good series here against the Rays. Prediction for the series and MVP.
I think we take 2 out of 3 against the Rays. And I guess I'll go with, I don't know, Xander. For MVP. He's starting to kind of like turn it around after kind of a really, really cold spot for him. Like, he had a pretty good game today, so I guess I'll go with him.
I like it. I feel the same. I'm just as optimistic. I think 2 out of 3, nice little pull for the Red Sox, and I think MVP of the series gonna be Erod.
Nice. Love it.
Throwing a gem right off the bat. Off day for the Red Sox tomorrow, and then they get into the series against the Rays on Tuesday. That'll do it for us. We'll be back later in the week, where Shelly will be back, because I'm on vacation, so enjoy a nice little stretch here of recaps without me. Recapping this series, previewing the Orioles, Thanks for listening.